Something Curious, a Northern Michigan University podcast connecting community through conversation. I'm your host, Haley Bussell, and you're listening to Something Curious. Within each episode, we pull a person from Northern's community and Marquette's community to discuss a similar subject matter. In this episode of Something Curious, Creatives in Action Community will be interviewing Bill Dignite and Jerry Mills. At NMU, Bill oversees the theater program, markets and promotes the current season, and teaches classes. Jerry is a keynote speaker, educator, and singer-songwriter committed to building the community around him. Per usual, I'm going to let them introduce themselves.
Hi, everybody. My name is Bill Dignite. I am the current director of theater here at Northern Michigan University. We have a lot of fun over there, and I'm excited to talk to you today about community.
All right. Awesome. Well, I know that just having you here is incredible just because you have so much going on in your life. There's so many different productions happening all the time. And yeah, we're just happy to have you. So thanks for coming on.
Oh, I'm excited to be here. And yeah, definitely a lot of productions going on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Just within this past semester, how many did you guys have?
We started off with our Fringe Festival. Then we had Sweeney Todd. We had the youth theater production. We also had Scrooge. Mm-hmm. And then we are in the process of opening our ballet here in January.
Oh, my gosh.
So five major productions, not to mention all of the classes and directing scenes and all of that.
Totally. I went to three out of the four of those. I didn't get to go to Scrooge, but I went to the youth theater and I saw Alice in Wonderland.
Yes.
And then I saw Sweeney Todd, and then I went into the Fringe Festival too, so I was really excited. Yeah. I got to see them all.
A different span, a lot of different, from the Fringe Festival in a small space doing some more unique things, mm-hmm. I guess I would be the word, and then Sweeney Todd, kind of a heyday musical, and then Alice in Wonderland with the youth and seeing what the future holds in artists. It's pretty exciting.
Yeah, it's cool seeing the vast difference between like what you guys have going on too, because I feel like it's a lot of... I don't know. You guys have a lot of different things. Like, it's not kind of like, it's not all the same. You have a lot of different productions going on where it's like, you feel like if that's not your thing, you can wait until the next one and be like, okay, this is kind of more my style. Like, some people who would watch Sweeney Todd wouldn't really be as much into it as they would be Mamma Mia, which is coming up too, right?
Yes, we have Mamma Mia. We have our world premiere ballet, East of the Sun, West of the Moon. And then we have our Spotlight Variety Show, which is magic, aerialists, contortionists, kind of some crazy stuff. That's in February. We have our Medieval Dinner Theater at the end of February. Mm-hmm. We have a little bit of a break in March. And then we have Beauty and the Beast Collection, which is a dance piece in our Black Box. We have Mamma Mia in the FRT. Then we have Legally Blonde Jr. with the Youth Theater production. And then we round out our season at the end of the summer with What a Glorious Feeling, which is the prequel to Singing in the Rain. It's a musical about the pre-production process and creation of Singing in the Rain.
Wow. That's so much in one semester.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
We'll get it done.
You guys have a lot going on, which is cool. I'm excited, though, because that's a lot of like, really cool stuff going on campus.
Yeah, we want to be a program known for opportunities and getting people involved, getting students involved, and teaching as much as we can.
Yeah, that's great. Awesome. So how did you get your start at Northern?
I've only been at Northern, actually, here about 18 months.
Okay.
I started last year in July and just really kind of got called saying, hey, this position's open. Have you ever thought about it? I was working in the private sector. I obviously live in Marquette. I run Double Trouble Entertainment. And then we have Diggs Gastropub with my twin brother, Pat. And then we travel around the world a lot, actually, like Vegas, New York, Mexico City, doing like nightclub stuff and entertainment industry contracts and things like that. And I don't know, my wife's having a kid, and I was kind of like, this could be a unique opportunity. I honestly didn't think I'd get the job because I'm not a traditional candidate, if you will, but I'm really excited to be here, and I think we can do some positive things to really change the future of our program and put us as cutting edge leaders within the educational world of entertainment arts.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like because you have a different perspective and like what you've done in the past, you're going to be able to bring something different to the table, which is what you have done. I mean, just seeing how it's been in the past year, at least. Like, it's been really cool.
Yeah, trying to bring the energy, get the fire going in there. And we have a great team over there. And I think sometimes you add a new team member and it can really jostle things around and get people excited. And that's what we're doing. We've received a lot of support through the university and the leadership here. And I can't thank them enough to get things moving in a really positive direction.
Yeah, that's great. I can feel the energy too anytime I'm in there. I'm in the other building a ton, Thomas Fine Arts.
Yes.
And yeah, whenever I have to walk through the FRT, I'm always like, this is such a cool spot. I wish I was here more.
Yes, we have a fun lobby. Lots of students sleep on the couches during the day.
Yeah, I mean, they look super comfortable.
They are comfortable.
That's great. Oh, that's awesome, man. So because this episode is kind of based on community, I know we were talking about this like pretty briefly before we started recording, but how do you feel the FRT / theater community at Northern is directly connected with Marquette / the UP?
Well, I think it's connected in quite a few different ways. I would say that we are one of the major regional live entertainment performance spaces that people are going to come to. So if you look on the macro look at it, we have people that travel 125-150 miles to come see a show at the Forest Roberts Theater. They actually come to Marquette and usually make a weekend out of it, and they'll stay in a hotel and this, that, or the other. So good for tourism in Marquette and bringing people on campus. And then when you start getting a little smaller and you look at maybe just Marquette County, we have a lot of people that definitely come to every show with season tickets. And we then also have our community production. So Scrooge is one of those where students are cast as well as community members. This summer, some of our productions actually are like Mamma Mia, What a Glorious Feeling, Legally Blonde. Those are community shows. So students will audition as well as community members. So we're allowing the opportunity for our community to engage, not just being in the audience, but potentially being on stage. And our Marquette community, our campus community, we really don't just market to the campus. We do market to the community. Our audiences, we want them full, and students are busy, and we do see a huge proportion of our audience coming from the Marquette community as well as the greater UP community. Our job, I think, is to provide a great entertainment experience, maybe some education. Sometimes you see plays that we do and you leave talking about it or having questions or saying this was great, or maybe they didn't like it, but they're having a conversation. And that is the main goal of art, is to get the conversation going. So when you leave, you're talking about it. I always say people should go out to dinner or have coffee or something after the show to digest what they just took in. And some of them are a little more superficial. We do a lot of Disney and things like that. Yeah. But when you do some of these more grittier plays, or you're doing some Arthur Miller or a Greek tragedy, how can that relate to today? How can that work? So we want to have that social conversation. So that is part of our responsibility, I feel, in our program to have that with the community.
Yeah, I mean, you're even tying in history. I don't know the story behind Fringe Festival, but I do know that the basis of it starting was some type of protest, wasn't it? I don't know.
Yeah, so it was fighting for the arts. And in Fringe Festival, the goal was to talk about all these different artists who had to fight for their way. Many female artists, if you look, even in the entertainment world, it's still very male-dominated. Yeah. And that's something that's changing right now, and I'm very excited about that, that there's becoming a more level playing field. But yeah, it's the fight for creative freedom. These are arguments and conversations that are still happening today, this very moment. Yeah. So it's pretty exciting to see all of that changing, and that was a unique play. Also, sometimes in a Fringe Festival where you're being a little more creative, people are watching something and there might not be words. The story might not be laid out in front of you as much. There might be a little more critical thinking for you to delve in and find your own answer.
Yeah.
And that's really exciting. And Fringe Festival is one of those, even the one over in Scotland.
Is that where it started?
Yeah, that's the original big one. But our Fringe Festival, we basically are accepting that some people are going to walk out and say, I didn't like it. I'm not sure what I watched, to then the other side of the spectrum of that was the best, we've gotten compliments saying that's the best thing you've done in 10 years. So art is subjective. Yeah. It is definitely something where people have different opinions, and that's what we want. We don't want someone, if everyone walked out and said that was great, we didn't do our job, right?
Yeah.
It's a conversation. You want people to be in the lobby after, or even before the show, coming in and being like, oh, I hope it's this, or I'm interested to see what they're going to do with that. So
yeah.
It's exciting, but different.
Yeah. Well, that's the great thing about art, and not just within theater, but just all different types of mediums. I mean, it's kind of up for interpretation. It's that person trying to get something out of it. And if they're not able to, that's okay. But that's the good thing about it. It's kind of like you can see whatever you want to see in it. You know?
Yeah, definitely. And our community has a lot of great art that's happening within it. Collection We is one of the shows we're producing, and we're actually bringing in the Tamama Dance, that is a community dance group, professional, and we're bringing them into our season. So we try to engage with our community, and the conversations they have with their movement and the stories that they're telling is very interesting and exciting to watch. And so some of that is also our students learning and drawing on the art that's happening in our community and getting that into our space. So that's part of the reason we brought in the youth theater with Alice in Wonderland and Newsies, and getting younger people in there too, because you'd be surprised some of the darndest things these kids say, and you're like, wow, how profound, how exciting is it to hear that a 7-year-old gets it more than us.
And that happens a lot too. My sister's she was a second grade teacher. Now she's a kindergarten teacher. So it doesn't happen as much with like the little tykes, but second graders, she tells me all the time, she's like, they would just say these things, and it would be, like you said, like so profound. And you're like, how are you this like young? That's pretty cool.
Yeah, these little humans, and you're just like, oh, you get it. You're not in the rat race of hustling some of the other things, and you just can focus on the, like, treat everybody good.
Yeah, it's just more simple. It's just simpler.
Yes, I like that.
Yeah, it is. It's really great. So if you could walk me through a day in your life, I know it's very different compared to, I mean, every day is going to be super different for you because you have so much going on, but I guess maybe tell me some more of the things that your duties are, like what you're
in the theater.
Yeah. Like what you would do on like a, let's say a production day. So you have,
so if we have like a production day and we have a major production day, we have our production meetings on Friday, so I'll do a Friday, and I'll talk you through what a production weekend would be. So we call them a tech weekend, basically the weekend before we open the show. So we open our shows on Thursday or Friday. The weekend before is when we finally put every piece together and we walk through it moment by moment, scene by scene, act by act, to get it all together, to make sure the story's flowing, to make sure everything has its purpose to progress the story. So Friday morning, we'd be in a production meeting. That's somewhere around 8 or 9 a.m. Theater people love getting up early. That is a lie. We're mostly night owls, but I like the morning. So I usually get into the office around 7:38, and I'll be checking the monumentous amount of emails from students. We also have to teach classes, so that's fun.
That is a lot going on.
Yeah, I enjoy it. Teaching is definitely really fun. So we'll have our production meetings where we'll talk about what's going on, and we're never just working on one show. In the beginning of the semester of the fall, we are only working on one, maybe two shows in that first month. So that's definitely something that's interesting. And then it starts compounding and you have more and more production meetings. So when we were in Sweeney Todd on our Friday before we go into the tech that evening, we had four production meetings, not counting Sweeney going into tech that evening. So you have all these different creative design teams. Some of them are community members, from costume designers to scenic designers, lighting designers, sound designers, props designers. You have the director, you have the choreographer, you have student assistant designers. So a room of about 15 to 18 people all crammed into this room, talking about everything and collaborating. Collaboration is a big thing. So We collaborate on our campus, we collaborate within the program, we collaborate with our community and how to get things done. So we'll have those meetings in the morning. I usually try to have lunch, but that usually gets forgotten. So I do that fasting thing just unintentionally, right? And then we have classes. So in the fall, I don't teach Friday class. In the spring, I teach a Friday careers class. So I would teach a class. And then we would be in the scene shop or the electric shop. Like on Sweeney Todd, I was the scenic designer. So we were focusing on finishing the set, making sure every piece is there. Kelly Truckee was our director, who was amazing and really had some of these small details within the set where not everyone was going to see them, but the people that saw it were going to get it, and it was going to be an extra moment just for them. Sometimes our shows, it's not about connecting with everybody. It's about connecting with a couple of people, and there's lots of moments where everyone will have that unique moment, and that's why some people will come see the show 2, 3, 4, 5 times, because it's different every time, because it's live, right? Yeah. No actor can do it exactly the same every time. They try. Yeah. That's the goal. But it's still a little bit different. And then that we'd work till 5 in the shops and getting everything ready. We take a dinner break and then we come home, come back at 6:30 to start. Mm-hmm. Usually it's a working dinner break for the technical crew. This is the first time where the technical crew has control of the stage. So then we get everybody in, all the set pieces there, the run crew, the actors. This is where the actors are more not full out singing. They're there as bodies, and we're working on the lights and the sound and mics and all that. And people are sitting there, and we go from people walking in, house lights are on, to house lights go to half, conductor walks out, we begin the overture, curtain goes up, what's next?
Yeah.
And we go step by step by step. So we'll do that till about midnight.
Yeah, that's a lot.
And then we come back the next day for what we call a 10 out of 12. It's a 12-hour day. You get a lunch break and a dinner break, and you start at 10 a.m. and you go till 10 p.m. And then on Sunday, we come back and do another 10 out of 12.
Holy cow. So, and that's tech weekend.
That's tech weekend.
Okay.
And then Monday, in the morning is when you like kind of fix everything that you didn't get to over the weekend. And then you come in and you run like a dress rehearsal. So you treat it as there's an audience in the theater. And that first dress is usually when our reviewer comes to review the show, which then gets printed in the Mining Journal online, things like that.
Okay, nice.
It's not movies. We don't get 10 takes. On opening night of Scrooge, we had our main curtain. Something broke, and we couldn't get the part till the next day, so we had to rework our whole opening sequence 20 minutes before the show started. So that was exciting.
Wow.
But that's live theater. That's the nature of the beast, if you will. And that's what makes it really exciting. That's why people really want that feeling, that rush of like, we're going to do this. It's exciting. I nailed it. I got it perfect. Or if I didn't nail it, how did I cover?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you think about just the like underlying idea of what a live performance is like, I mean, you're getting people to, first of all, like spend their money to come in and watch and then give some of their time to watch this thing that's going on for like, let's say, an hour. I mean, that's pretty cool. That's a really great opportunity, like you said, to like connect with people and show them a message.
Yeah, we enjoy it. And we have some upcoming shows that are going to be definitely a little. Our Medieval Dinner Theater will be a show that, one, you get dinner at it, so that's unique, right? But it'll be a show that'll take place in 3 or 4 rooms. So you'll be actually strolling through different, we're doing it in the Masonic Building, downtown Marquette.
Oh, and that's great.
Yeah,
that's cool.
So, yeah, we're trying to bring our show on the road, if you will, get into the community, if you will.
Well, that's awesome.
Take it to the people. So we're going to, you'll start in one room and then work, and people get divided up. So even if you come to the first night or the second night, your experience will be different.
Yeah.
And unique. And we're trying to teach our students the larger community of art and entertainment world. A lot of people think like you're getting a theater degree, you have to go work on Broadway, you got to go work in Chicago, or you got to go work in LA. And that is just not correct. There are so many jobs, there are so many communities that have major regional theaters, that have entertainment, that have corporate theater jobs. There's a lot of people that they make instructional videos for their living, or they work in commercials, or the amount of animation that's happening in the world today, it's not three people doing those voiceovers anymore. It's hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people getting voice cast. We have a really successful alumni in LA, Kelly Mashinsky and her husband Travis, that run a voiceover casting company, and it is it's nuts, the greater entertainment community that's growing and the jobs. So yeah, part of my job is to make sure that I introduce these students to these different opportunities within our regional community as well as the national community of arts and opportunities and being successful, so they're not, I don't like the term starving artist. Everybody can work.
Oh my gosh, it's true though. There's a lot of opportunity.
But we have, I mean, just the Market Arts and Culture Center and what's going on in the basement of the library and the Children's Museum that's going on. Like, that is an art installation of, it's crazy over there. And just Art in the Park and all the different things that are happening in Outback Art Fair. There's all these artists and crazy, fun, unique people that are pushing this in our community. Mm-hmm. And I think that the conversations are starting to happen more and more. I actually love social media because you're able to see things and be like, oh, I should totally come to that. I really want to see that. Mm-hmm. We're excited at the FRT. We're working with the Native American Studies program and bringing in a Native American dance group onto our stage on March 15th. We are really just excited to open the Four Shrubbers Theater stage. Anybody can come play and have fun. And obviously, it gets busy in there, and so we can't say yes to everything, but we really do try to say yes. We've working with the amazing music program here at Northern. Jeff Vickers is taking the helm over there now and in charge of the department, and we're getting some of their music programs. We're actually recruiting together, which is exciting, too. There's a lot of fun things happening, and I think people are getting out of their silos and wanting to talk to each other.
Yeah, that's great. Well, I can feel it. Like I said earlier, like whenever I'm over there, you can feel the energy. You can feel everybody's really excited to be around. So, yeah, I think what you're doing is awesome.
Thanks. Yeah, it's fun. Well, it's the students. I'm just the vessel and the loud guy in the back of the room. So let's go. Let's try it. Worst thing we can do is fail, right? And then you learn something from that. And that's our job, is to teach and learn and grow. So.
As a side note, it is so impressive how many different things the theater department has going on throughout the year, and just even in a single semester, it's incredible. Up next, we have Marquette community member who's going to talk a lot about things that have happened in his life and how he got to where he is now.
My name is Jerry Mills. I'm a member of the Marquette community. I have been for 20-some years. I'm not originally from here. I grew up in the Chicagoland area, but I came up to the Upper Peninsula in the early 80s. I was at first living in a little town called Grand Marais, and then I moved to the central UP. I was living in the Gwin area. I was working in emergency medical services there for years. And then I moved to Marquette, wanted to get to the big city, and I've been here since about 93. And that's also the time when I was, at the time, a teacher in Marquette. I started coming up to NMU for a lot of reasons. I did a lot of my EMS training there, but most importantly, I decided I wanted to become a teacher. So I went to Northern and got my teaching degree and was hired here in Marquette to be an elementary teacher, which I did for several years. And then I moved into the position of it was a new position that they created as director of technology for the school district. And in that job, I was required to teach about 1,000 kids a week and their teachers. And I got to interact with more than 30 teachers every week. So I asked if I could have a chance to try my idea out on these teachers, and instead they had me try it out on the principals of the Marquette School District. After I spoke to them for 20 minutes, they asked me to do the keynote presentation for the school district in the fall. And that's where my career started. For the next 25 years now, I've been doing this as I'm a professional speaker, but I'm a singer-songwriter first and foremost. So I basically put together presentations where I weave storytelling and songs and research, and I've been doing that for a long, long time. All through this time, you know, no matter what I was doing, everybody would always say, you know, you have such a way with kids, you should be a teacher, you'd be a great teacher. And I always said the same thing, I would never want to be a teacher because I'd end up with kids who were like I was when I was a kid, and I wouldn't know what to do with them. And so I just put that off. And then I finally realized that I wanted to give that a shot. And I decided I wanted to become an elementary teacher. I wanted to work with kids who were maybe, you know, third and fourth grade, somewhere in there. So I went back to Northern, moved. That's when I moved up here. And I, you know, I got my teaching certification at Northern, had some wonderful teachers, professors, people who became lifelong friends. That's where I learned about the NMU community. You know, the thing about living in Marquette is that NMU is like Marquette's laboratory. You know, NMU is like Marquette's think tank or, you know, go-to place. It's the go-to place for culture. I have lived by a motto for my whole adult life, and I learned it from a guy named Robert Fulghum, who's a philosopher and a writer. And his philosophy was, when the circus comes to town, be there. Mm-hmm. You know, if there's something going on, go. Well, a lot of the times the circus that comes to town is on campus. Mm-hmm. It's either a cultural event or a speaker or, I mean, some of the most profound moments I've ever had in my life happened at Northern.
Say partnering with Northern's community and Marquette's community organizations have been important for your personal success.
When I came up here and saw this town, and when I saw the lake, and when I realized the just something about the energy here, I didn't know what it was. And I came here for, I was actually in Marquette for only about 2 or 3 weeks, and then I left. And I remember this because I remember I left on Ash Wednesday, and I came back the day after Easter. Mm-hmm. And when I came back the day after Easter and stayed through the summer, that's when I really cemented my relationship with the community of Marquette. I was living in a little apartment across the street from the Peter White Library. And I've always known if you want to get to the heart of a community, when you get to that town, the first thing you ought to do is go to the library, because everything you want to know is there. And the people who know the answers to the questions you might have about what to do or where to go or anything are there. But Marquette, I knew back then, even when it was the old little, you know, the old building, it was a phenomenal place. And it's almost like a seed grew from there, and you grow a web out into these other people through the education community, the people I came to know through Northern and some of the professors there, some remarkable people, the relationships. I had an experience at Northern. I'll tell you this, that it was a language arts class, and we were required in the class to do what was called a language arts experience. We basically had to share. And everybody, most every class you do at Northern, you got to present something or other. And so each time I was going to do one, because it was about language arts, I brought my guitar. So I played a song. So I played a particular song for this day, and I don't remember what it was. I know that we were talking about how music and lyrics are emotion. And so I played the song, and when I got done, the class said, "Oh, play another one." And I said, "No, that's okay. I was going to do this one song," and they were real insistent. So I played another one, and I follow my impulse. The name of my business forever. It's now called Imagine the Possibilities, but at the time it was called Impulse Presentations, because most of my creative instincts come from an impulse that you feel inside. So I had this impulse to share this experience, and what came about as a result of this moment, here's what happened. I said, well, we're talking about how music and lyrics are emotion. This is probably the most emotional song I've ever written, and I don't play this song very often, but I'll play it for you. And I played this song that I hardly ever play. It's called One More Day. It's about my relationship with my father, and you could have heard a pin drop when I played the song. And I knew it was, I don't call it a lethal song, but it's a really heavy duty song. Mm-hmm. Hockey players used to come to the Portside Inn when I used to play there. They would come into town to play from a visiting team, and they would bring their buddies in there and say, play that song about your dad. And it's not a song for a bar, but it's a real heavy song. Mm-hmm. So I played the song to this class, this language arts class, mm-hmm. and you could have heard a pin drop when it was done. And when it was you know, when it was silent for too long, the professor got up, and she was a kind of a gruff woman, and kind of a lot of people didn't read her correctly. She was very intense and she had very high standards, but they thought she was kind of mean. And I didn't think she was mean. I just thought she was kind of intense. She got up after I played this song, and I just remember, I think she got as far as "well," and she just lost it. And what we didn't know is that her father was dying or had just died. And one of the kids in the class, one of my classmates, jumped up out of the desk. Rachel Evans was her name. Jumped up and held this teacher, and pretty soon everybody in the class was in a group hug with her.
Wow.
And everybody that was in that class that day, I've seen them for years. Some of them have passed on, but whenever I see these same people who are in that class, they all remember that moment. And that's why I call it an NMU moment. Those are the kind of things that, you know, that transpire in that beautiful laboratory over there.
Wow, that's beautiful.
And I also have to say, I'm the product of NMU myself, but I have a son who I'm just tremendously proud of, who went to Northern and found his way, and he was an RA in the dorms for years, and then he got scholarships and awards from the university, and then they asked him to stay on to get his special ed master's degree, which he did, and he taught in inner city Detroit for a couple of years. He's teaching in Detroit now, in a suburb of Detroit, or inner city suburb. And so much of who I am today and so much of who Andrew is happened because of not just Northern, but because of this incredible community of Marquette interfacing with Northern. Because Northern, you know, there really is no border. There's no wall between Northern and Marquette. It's all, you know, it's all one thing. And there's so many wonderful things. I look forward to the opportunity to kind of pay it forward and take what I've been given and help share it with others. So I was invited by a professor from NMU, Ken Kelly, a retired professor, to be the board president of MFAC, which is where I met you, because you're on the MFAC board as well.
Do you want to tell everybody what that stands for?
MFAC is Music for All Kids. It's a nonprofit organization that tries to put instruments in the hands of students, and many of these student populations are of the alternative type, whatever that means, you know, educationally or emotionally or
financially,
socially or financially, absolutely. Yeah. And give them the opportunity to try and do the kind of music that they don't get to do in their regular school curriculum. Education, for sure, a huge part of my career has been in education, and my heart will always be there. The National Speakers Association say that the toughest audience in the world is teachers, because they're so guarded about their time. And I've been hitting it out of the park with teachers for 20-some years, and it's a blast.
Well, thank you for coming on our podcast. We appreciate you giving us some of your time. Thank you for listening to our podcast, Something Curious, and listening to this episode, Creatives in Action. Again, I'm your host, Haley Bustle. Something Curious is a podcast brought to you by Northern Michigan University that aims to connect community through conversation. I sure hope that you learned something new today, and we will catch you next time. Also, don't forget to stay curious.